and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. A day 368. How are we all doing? I made a dreadful mistake yesterday, Mike. You'll laugh at me. I closed Vivaldi down. Now, if I close Vivaldi down, that's fine. I actually hit the cross in the corner, so now I've lost all my tabs. So I'm all over the place.
Oh.
But never mind, I'm here. Let's see who was in the chat first. Yay, Jonathan, he's back on form. Heading in to Two Show Friday, he's feeling strong. Oh, no, Jonathan says, I think, you did. You did win, Jonathan. Thought I read that the wrong way around. You did. Congratulations. Hello, Kim. Fabulous unboxing. I'm kind of half in and half out of Slack. It's a nightmare. There are things breaking all around me. But Mike said, I've got this video. So I have seen the video. Amazing. And lovely to hear you. Fantastic. Hello, Renee. And today was a much better day. Oh, that's good to hear, Jonathan. I need to be in Slack. I do. What are you up to now? Oh, she's been good. She's had a treat. It was the last one in the packet, Kim. So she's now got a real sulk on herself. Right. I clearly need to see Renee's setup in here, don't I? So I'll go and sort that out. Hello, Tony. Hope you're feeling better today. Less painful. All liking the setup here. That is excellent. Good. So how's today been? Have we all heard about the event? The event that never was, To Catch a Leaker. Just don't tell anyone. They can do that now. They can keep it totally private. But no, they have to play with our mind while they're doing it. Naughty, naughty Timothy. We don't like that. So Jonathan's had a good day. That's excellent. Hopefully Tony's feeling better. Kim's first unboxing. Hopefully not the last. I'm trying to pin that on there. Why is everything falling apart? I'm literally held together with a pin here. It's holding a pair of headphones on. But when I say a pair, the other end fell off. That's why it doesn't balance very well. It was those, the nighttime ones that Tracy recommended. Which are fantastic. Only mine's only got one now because the end came off and I need to get some more. Waiting for them to be on sale. Oh, yes. Kim definitely needs to buy more tech. Oh, and to think that she had it in the COVID cave for all those weeks as well. What did we have arrive that didn't go in the COVID cave? No, it's totally escaped me. It was something that we needed. Madam's not had a towel out of the COVID cave yet, so that's not there yet. Hello, Anthony. It'll take you a year to set it up. What you could do with Kim is one of those like guided demonstration-y things of the things that you'll forget, couldn't you? I'm putting the finishing touches to tomorrow night's running order. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, no, we do not want a 5.5-hour epic. So it's a case of what I'm going to leave out. So I'm taking requests. If you've got a request for tomorrow night, that might sway me one way or the other. So let me know. Oh, and tables as well for Sunday. I know Tracy's struggling with tables. Oh, bang, but right on time, Tracy. Amazing. How did you do that? I wanted to know what specific questions you had about tables. I intend to take tables from the top through to the end, but obviously there's a million different things you can do with tables. So what was it that you were like thinking, this does not work in a logical way? Because I agree with you. None of tables works in a logical way. It's where I'm going to put the emphasis. So let me know on that one. And what else have I been up to? Not much. Stayed out of trouble all day. Oh, Renee, that was so true. The unboxing video, when it was tipped upside down, I'm like, no, but it was all right. Oh, and the lid, you know, when you get the lid, I love the way that you got the lid off. I always do the kind of, it's supposed to take 8 seconds, isn't it, to drop. It was something Steve Jobs allegedly orchestrated. in terms of how it feels to unbox an Apple product. I mean, now you're just crying because you know you're going to have to pay for it at some point. But back then, yeah, back in the day. That's Gaelic, isn't it, Tracy? Beyond that, you've lost me. I speak very little Gaelic. Put it like this. If the word in Gaelic was in the title of a U2 song, I know it. If it's a place like Drogheda, which is spelt Drogheda, but is pronounced Drogheda, then I might know it. Beyond that, I'm not going to know it. So there you go. Hello, Paul. How are things in Ohio? Aren't you keyed up very soon for your jab? I've just heard a friend's getting it tomorrow. Who else has had it that I know of? No, I think that's it. I think that's it. Only you guys. Maybe people just aren't telling me. Maybe it's that. Because I would have thought very, very many of the Catanians would be heading off for it. Nina's had hers. Obviously, Kat's had both of hers. Kaz has had one. Joe's had two. Chich has had one, I think. And Rachel's probably had two, but then she's frontline NHS. So she probably would. That's a good way of putting it, Kim. Is Paul actually with us or is he in a meeting? Oh, no, raining tomorrow and you schedule for 1:30 tomorrow. Oh, is it rainy season or is that unusual? Here it's not in the slightest bit unusual. It's just been raining on and on and on and on and on. Paul is here for real. Excellent. Oh, that's fantastic. Boris is getting his tomorrow. Though that's true, Jonathan. But it all felt a bit, and I think you might be a bit young to remember this. Do you remember, was it John Gummer who gave his daughter, mad cow disease, Jonathan, do you remember that? Or are you a bit young? It was a politician and it was like, the beef's not safe. So he took his daughter, and she must have been about three, out to this like sort of burger van thing. It wasn't a McDonald's, it was like a burger van. And bought her a burger. He didn't eat it, gave it the kid. Yeah, no, that's not good. That's not good. So that's what it feels like with Boris. I know I'm going to get the AstraZeneca one. I thought, really? Nobody else knows what they're getting. So does it? And he said, because they're an AstraZeneca centre. And I thought, so it's the postcode lottery, is it? I would have thought it was done based on, I mean, we know that the Pfizer one's a lot more expensive. So I would have thought that would have been kept on one side for people who were contraindicated in one of the others. But apparently not, just being done geographically. So if he wanted the other one, then he could go somewhere else. And yesterday, Matt Hancock, that's our health secretary. Although I did hear overnight when somebody did the papers review, one of these journalists said, and he looks like Stan Laurel on that photo. And I must admit, when I saw it, he did. But I thought that's not fair because, you know, he normally looks reasonably normal as a politician in the UK ever does look. They've just picked a really bad photo. And that's not journalism. That's like, how can we make this guy look a Muppet? But anyway, he was busy prattling away and he was saying that there is going to be a limit on the number of vaccines that they've got. So basically get in now while you can. You know, usual scaremongering tactics and beyond. And then he said, and I'm 42. And I looked at him and I thought, pardon? I thought he was about 55. Did you hear that with Matt Hancock?
No.
Matt Hancock said, and I'm 42. And I thought, you're kidding me.
Look at that tail.
Oh, are we thinking it's time to go out and play? I wish you could see Mike here. He looks like a normal human being.
What do you mean a normal human being?
Well, listen, and then you'll learn. And he's about to put a shirt over everything and a tie with his jogging pants.
I'm not wearing a tie.
Oh, you're not even wearing a tie?
No.
Oh, dear.
Ties are outlawed.
Look at this.
What?
Wow.
What?
Looks amazing.
No, it's just a bigger shirt.
It looks amazing. Just take the compliment and be done.
Right.
So you're heading off to your meet. No, it looks like you're taking the dog out. Lola's just nutmegged him. Oh, dear. Right, let's have a look what's going on here. That's what it was, Jonathan. Indeed. Variant CJD. COVID. No, not COVID. Good grief. I've got COVID on the brain, haven't I? Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. But, you know, I wonder how that girl is today. You wouldn't risk it, would you? But he didn't eat it. That was what was shocking with it. More rain than usual, but you get most of the rain in the spring. I guess we get most of ours in the autumn. But it just seems to never stop here, which I don't mind. It keeps COVIDiots in. So it can rain all it likes, as far as I'm concerned. Tracy gets confused with Gaelic. How can Neve be pronounced Neve? Oh, I know. We've got a lady at school. And it's got, like, you know, 47 vowels in it. And it's just pronounced Anya. It doesn't look anything like Anya. There's A's in it, and I's in it. And you're like, I remember the first time somebody said it, wrote it down phonetically because I thought, there's no way I am ever going to look at that and think of that. Siobhan's another one, which is a beautiful name. What was the one? Oh, I've got a very distant, well, we think we're related in some kind of way, very, very distant cousin. I'm trying to remember what her name was. It was like Michaela, but it wasn't Michaela. And again, just spelt so weird. But the names sound beautiful. Oh, what's that other one as well? The Edgy's first wife, Ashleen. And again, it's not pronounced, it's not spelt anything like that, but it's nice. Right. Imagine Boris got to pick his vaccine centre and his appointment. I'm sure he did, Jonathan. He doesn't need help to be made to lock him up. Well, you say that. I'm wondering, knowing what he's like, such a bombastic, let me get involved type. I remember saying about the Sun's campaign for 50,000 volunteers. Are they right in the head? Was what I said. Just from the perspective of you can't train that many people up to an acceptable medical standard in 5 minutes. But we were told it was fine. They were just volunteers. They weren't actually doling out the vaccine. They were car park attendants, and they were doing the administration, and they were doing the cleaning of the seats. And I thought, oh, well, fair enough, then that makes sense, that they're helping out the medical staff by doing the jobs that the medical staff would otherwise have to do, but they are busy administering the vaccine. Okay, so hold that thought. That was what we were told. So, minding my own business today, sees this video on the BBC's news site, and I thought, just a minute. And it was basically like a day in the life of how these volunteers are doling out the vaccine. And I thought it was like a record screech. Pardon? That's not what you said. You said they were cleaning. So I put the video on. Wish I hadn't bothered. Honestly. Yeah, but you see, right, so Kim's saying dentists can now give the vaccine as well as vets and midwives. But they're trained. What's the matter now?
You have one of those things handy that you plug in your iPhone to shut it up.
Yes, I have, Mike. Is this because the football's making noise? Do you mean one of these?
I can't say. Yes, one of
those. You could say, but yeah, then you'd have to shoot us.
Yes.
Right, off your toddle. If you want a headphone jack, let me know. No, God almighty. Right, so those people are already trained to give injections. So I watches this thing, and I'm bearing in mind what Kim said and Paul's Pete said as well, that, you know, we only had an afternoon on it. I thought, it's all right. Suspend your disbelief. Watch the video. OMG. They were indeed actually administering the vaccine. One of them looked about 12 and said, and I quote, "Can't wait to get stuck in." And then he went, "Oh, actually, that's probably not the right thing to say, is it?" And I thought, OK, I'm like Simon Cowell at this point. Bye. No. there was one that was a woman. I can't remember what she said that was stupid, but believe you me, every word that came out of their mouths was stupid. And then one said, and I quote, "Oh, the training's been amazing. It's been amazing. We did an online course." I'm like, okay, backpedaling as we speak. And then they said, "And this is the first time that we've got hands on today." And so, yes, these Sun readers, as I predicted, are actually giving you the vaccine. They wouldn't know a contraindication from a toadstool. But whatever, they've done an online course. Guess who's waiting for the GP? Oh, crying out loud. Will the nurse blunt the needle first? Well, I did think, when he rocks up for this injection, can you imagine all the nurses thinking, oh, look, there he goes, Mr. 1%. I don't think it'll end well for him. Oh, dear. You'd imagine Boris wants to be seen in the vaccine centre. The idea of taking a nurse away. No, I think he will turn up. And I think he'll have the cameras with him. Because it's too good an opportunity not to. So, absolutely. But do you know, I'd much rather he got this lad that said, I can't wait to get stuck in. Because the other thing that I'm thinking is, when I became a governor, school governor, you have to have a CRB check. DBS, Disablement and Barring Service or something. But it's a criminal records check. And it took 4 months for mine to come back. I think it was maybe even longer. I think it went in around the 1st of September, and I think I got it back about Christmas. And, you know, every time I went into the school, it's like, no, I haven't got one yet. So they have to do like a manual check. So eventually this DBS certificate turned up, and you have to have that with you. I know a guy who needs a DBS check, and the DBS check went in the middle of January, and he still hasn't heard. So I'm thinking to myself, are all these people that have volunteered, you know, psychopaths are us, have they been checked, criminal records check? Because if they can't do 6 school governors in less than 4 months, what's the chance with 50,000? Something will go wrong. We'll see it. It'll all go wrong. I shall wait and wait for it to happen, and then we can all talk about it. Vets, I'd trust. I would. No experience of midwives. And dentists, well, they have to give far more invasive injections than in the arm, don't they? When they're putting them in the roof of your mouth is just agonising. It feels like it's going into your brain. So all of those, absolutely fine. But, you know, Fred, who works on the market, who's done an online course, would you fancy it? No, me, no. No, not happening, no. Oh, night, Jonathan. Renee's used to injecting insulin. You could do it. Well, there again, you see, that's like a skill that you've got, and that's fine. But I also watched a programme, and it was about, I watched it because it was on actually on TV last night, which is very unusual for me. And it was a case in the early 2010s at a place called Stepping Hill Hospital. And they had very unusual cases of people dying. So they were getting better, these people, and then they just died. And it turned out to be like a hypoglycemic attack. And there was no reason for it. Anyway, that was giving them cause for concern, shall we say. But it wasn't, they weren't actively on the lookout for anything. What are you doing over there? Lola! Lola, come on. Never mind gnawing at the door. Get over there. I can see you. What mischief you're up to. The only reason that they were really alerted was the fact that a nurse picked up a bag of what was supposed to be saline, I think, to find that it was sticky and it had had an injection in it. She then picks up the rest out of the thing, and out of 45, 27 of these bags of whatever it was had been breached with something. So they send it off to be tested and stuff, and it turned out it was insulin. So it wasn't surprising people were dropping right and left. So they did an investigation, and they arrested this nurse. And she ended up before the beak. Hello, Sarah. And she was found guilty of stealing drugs, but not tampering with them. It turned out they got the wrong person for the tampering. That was somebody else. When they finally catches this person, he had been certified by the Nursing and Midwifery Board as being competent and qualified, because they'd seen a photocopy of a fake certification from Malaysia somewhere. And I'm incredulous. They didn't interview him, never spoken to him, no psychoanalysis done on him, nothing. Nothing. Heaven knows how many he killed. And they actually, luckily they got him put away, because they had this letter And this letter was something he was supposed to have done in therapy. But I think basically it was like him bragging to himself that he'd got away with murder all these dozens of times. So on this programme, the bit that freaked me out was, it had this statistic and it said in the UK, and let me get the TV show up so I can actually see, it was UK and America. So they'd only done this in two countries and they'd got this statistic. Now, it must have been from those who were caught, because obviously if you don't know that somebody has been up to mischief, then they can't be included in the figures, can they? But this was from people who had actually been caught. Why are you now telling me that there's, oh, don't be silly. It's telling me there's no recordings, and I know there is because I made one last night. You're being silly, totally silly. Let me find it. Right, let's go there. It's in the local folder. If I can see them, why can't you see them? Okay, that's a bit bizarre. Right, well, the statistic was, it was out of all the medical professionals. It was over, I think it was 16 years. And there was something like 50,000 medical professionals found guilty of either malpractice or criminal activity involving the death of patients. I nearly fell off the chair. I knew it was bad, but good grief. Kim reckons that the vets give the best shots. Do you reckon they pet you as well and call you Poppet? Because our vet always did. It was so cute with Maya. We call him Poppet. That way, it doesn't matter if he's a boy or a girl. So yeah, I would have trusted the vet. Absolutely. Oh, Paul was told to wear a short-sleeved shirt. Well, that's better than the ones I've seen over here, Paul, where things are, there are things that should not be seen being seen. So that's a good idea. The Incredible Dr. Paul. I've not seen that yet. Not seen. Anthony's done enhanced DBS checks for volunteers at work and the company who does it takes a few days. Well, I know mine didn't. Nobody that joined the governing body at the same time got theirs back any faster. And this guy that I know that needs a DBS and cannot work until he's got it has been waiting now 3 months. Well, which I'd expect. Obviously, they must be busier. But you kind of think to yourself, surely that's automated. I mean, they are checking your criminal record. They must be computerised. They're not checking them, you know, by hand. So why would it take that long? Thankfully, I think they last. Did they last 4 or 5 years, Anthony? I must admit, I've not checked mine. I might need another one. Oh, no. I'm such a cynic. Can't help it. I am. You know, they tell you one thing and then something else happens. And by that point, they're working on the statistics. They're working on the big picture. It's safe. Yes, overall it is. But if it's contraindicated in one person and you give it to them, it's not safe for them. But it's all right because Fred, who works in, I don't know, a milk bottling factory somewhere, who's volunteered, he's done an online course. So, knows all about it. Would you let somebody give you a filling as a dentist if they'd done an online course and nothing else? No, of course you wouldn't. But this is only your life in their hands. Oh, that used to be a programme, didn't it, on the BBC? It was fabulous, that. I loved it. Oh, let's have a look. I need to see this person, don't I? This Dr. Paul. Oh, Beverly Alley, I remember that. The company I worked for at the time did the case. It's a medical malpractice company. At the time, they were called Alexander Harris, but they've been bought out since then a couple of times. And they did that case. There was also other cases that they'd done. And, you know, obviously that's my experience. So if you work in the medical field, you will have had experience of like virtual miracles. But if you're working in medical malpractice, it hardly ever ends well. Let's put it like that. It hardly ever ends well. Oh, Tracy's completed the full leap year to 336. You'll keep up and have a good shot at the full marathon. I don't think I did last night, did I? Or did I? Did I do it? No, hang on. It's three. Let me have a look in feeder. Let me have a look where we're at. No, I'm up to 366 in there. I will do tonight's and yesterday's. Or was that yesterday's? Hang on, what date are we? I've lost track of what day it is. Actually, I used to have my calendar with my day on, and now it doesn't have my day on. No, that was Tuesday. So I need to do yesterday's and today's. And then you will probably be the only one ever to complete the Marooned Marathon. But so far, so good. I will do both of those and then you won't get behind. There's also, you know, you mentioned Beverly Alec, but there's also that other idiot, Harold Shipman. I mean, that was just horrific. Oh, so apparently there's a lot of them about. It was the days when they used to show operations in details, not like now where you don't see anything interesting or it's all blurred out. I used to see those. I think the programme was called Your Life in Their Hands. And it was like they would follow an operation through. And I have seen some absolutely amazing stuff. Rachel's old hospital, because she moved not long before the pandemic hit, but her old hospital were specialists in complex spine operations. And that was actually her department. And they had this lady in, and she'd got some kind of degenerative spine condition. And basically her spine could no longer hold her head up. So her chin was on her chest. And when she walked, she could only see the floor. And to do this operation, the biggest concern was that she could not be moved, not even fractionally, during this procedure. And it was a long procedure. But they needed to move her because otherwise she'd potentially get bed sores or something. So that was the situation. And they were pondering this as the IT guy just happened to wander past. And this was like something that was just serendipitous. He overheard them talking about, well, there's no way we can keep her still for long enough. What are you doing? Behave yourself. Just because your father's not here to keep an eye on you. Be good. He just overheard this conversation. And they were talking about x-rays and stuff. But basically the equipment that they would have to have like laid her on top of to hold her steady was generic, and this lady was really tiny. So this IT guy's listening, and he said, you know, pardon me for butting in, but you know, I'm working IT. Have you thought of 3D printing a perfect restraint for this operation? And it was like, what's 3D printing? No, they hadn't, because they didn't know it was even an option. So the two departments got together, and there's a video on YouTube. I'll try and find the link. And the video on YouTube is the story of how it got done. And you see this 3D printed thing, you see the operation, and you see afterwards. And she sat there with her head held up. It was amazing. Amazing. But you know, those stories either don't make the news, or they're totally outweighed by incompetent idiots. That's my experience. But yeah, that programme used to be fantastic, Your Life in Their Hands. Terrifying, but really nice to watch, because obviously it always ended up well. They didn't like it where it doesn't end up well. Some patients still thought he was a great doctor even after he was convicted. I know, Alex, isn't it just ridiculous? I know I'm the other way. I am totally the other way. In terms of I don't trust anybody and we'll work up from there, which is a safe position. That's exactly what I was like when I went to the dentist. I wouldn't even let him anywhere near me. It was like, I will sit on the edge of that seat. But if you think I'm lying back at no, that's not happening. And this was the only dentist who had ever been OK with that. And I think he thought it was going to be, and I appreciate this from the dentist perspective, you know, like, well, maybe the actual work that's needed doing isn't actually as full on or horrific as he was imagining, which was what he said. You know, after what you've told me, I think you've done fantastically well to keep what you've kept. And I said, that's because I'm careful with them, you know, so the actual work involved. But I can appreciate, because after I'd sorted all mine out, there was a two-part programme on the BBC, and it was all about dentistry. Kim would have loved it. It was like the most difficult cases, apparently. But the thing was, the people doing whatever they were doing all had it done in like 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, that's not really how it works. But, you know, again, suspend your disbelief. There were people who hadn't brushed their teeth. There were people who had phobias. And one of them was this girl. And she had a complete blind phobia and could not get through the door. I think she got through the door once and she kind of sat down, but she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. So the dentist said, right, that's it. I'm not touching her. Because I think his fear was if he did start touching her and they were in the middle of a procedure, that she would totally freak out, you know, maybe jump up when she shouldn't and he could have an accident. And, you know, I can appreciate that, but you do have to think about, you can't leave her like that either. Can you imagine the pain she's going to be in at some point? Couldn't you have referred her to a psychologist or somebody who could maybe get her over this phobia? Plus the fact, I'm making the point, there was nobody less inclined to even sit in the chair than me. But when it actually came to it, because they'd earned my trust, and I went in with a, I don't trust anybody. Like that box of tissues there, I trust that more than I trust you. That was where I was at. But once they'd earned my trust, and I remember him saying, do you want sedation? I'm like, no, I don't need sedating. And he said, but it's going to be a long thing, you know, if we do all three together. He was thinking, well, we'll do one and then we'll come back and we'll do another. And I said, can't we just do the lawn? And he said, well, you know, we don't normally do that. And I said, well, because, you know, it'd take three times as long. And I said, but you'd be okay doing it, wouldn't you? I said, because if you were doing three in an afternoon, there'd just be three different patients. I said, so it's just one patient with three teeth. What's the problem? So he decided he was going to do it. And then he was the one that needed a break. I didn't need a break at all. And he said, you know, I have no idea how you are lying there that still. I'm like, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. But you've got to trust. And if you do trust, and then you find out that trust is misplaced, but to carry on believing that he's amazing when it's being proved that he was a murderer is beyond me. I cannot understand that. There was a programme on not that long ago about him, and there was an interview with about four or five people. Some of them were actually his patients and some were relatives of those who died. And one of them was a couple, and he said, I did not believe it. I did not believe it. Even when it came out, even when they were investigating, I did not believe it. And I thought, as soon as it comes out, you've got to like, oh, well, okay, hang on. He's been all right with me, but maybe somebody else has got a different perspective on it. But no, it's like the difference between a growth mindset and a closed off mind where you just won't change your mind no matter what. How did they not know about 3D printing? She's been 3D printing for years. I guess because these were complex spine surgeons, and what they weren't doing any 3D printing in terms of anything they were putting inside the patient. It was like I don't want to say neck brace. It was like a solid block of something that was 3D printed to actually fit her body to the nth degree. And they had no idea that that could be done, which I agree with you. I would have thought 3D printing's been mentioned outside of specific job types at the moment. So, you know, you can buy one on Amazon. Obviously not quite the same one that you would need for this job, but the principle was there. They just hadn't joined the dots. So it was fortuitous that they did. Oh, wow. Anthony says, Leeds can now 3D print parts of patients' hearts from MRI scans. So surgeons can use a physical model to plan the surgery. I've only seen that once, and I don't think it was for planning it. It was on Grey's Anatomy. And wasn't Meredith 3D printing something? That wasn't the livers that she was printing, was it? I'm sure it was something like that. But she was definitely 3D printing something, and it was with tissue. Which is just amazing, amazing. A great doctor, but a raging psychopath. I think he was a great doctor if that's the kind of doctor that you need. So, like this guy, oh, he was a man's man. You know, you could talk to him about this. If that's what you need in a doctor, fantastic. I do not need that in a doctor. So I wouldn't, I'd have been in and out of that door and that would have been me done. Because that's not the type of doctor I need. I mean, Mike, when I met Mike, he said something and I was like, my blood ran cold. I know this is totally ridiculous, but this is me. And I, you know, that is me. he said something about, oh, Mum and Dad are going to Dr. So-and-so's for dinner. And I said, oh, is this a family friend? He said, it's the GP. I'm like, no. I can't sit across a dinner table looking at some. No, no. You need a professional distanced relationship with your doctor. You do not need to be having hors d'oeuvres with them. And it totally, I'm like, whoa, no. But Mike, that was normal. That no, 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 no. Because then it's like, if they think a certain test or treatment is necessary, you've got this other dynamic. You're not then conversating on an equal level. You're conversating on your friend is recommending. And, you know, you can argue with your doctor and no harm done, but you might lose a friend and then the dynamic's off. The dynamic is a mile off, but that's just me. There you go. What are you doing? I'm licking Jerry the giraffe. Yes, well, you'd be arrested for that, so behave yourself. No, no, Hugh, you're very welcome. Never, well, this called him a mistake before. What's going on? What's going on? oh, I see. No, I don't think so. No, never mind. You can be called anything you like here. Meredith and Christine are both 3D printed tissue. Yep, I thought, I remember Meredith doing it. Christina, that was a way back, so maybe not. Oh, I do remember that they were all like hijacking the printer. I remember that. Wasn't it the year they all had to create something? And didn't, Meredith's, no, the other one, her father. The one that had the fling with Meredith's mum, that one. Richard. Didn't he come up with some kind of torch or other that could see Duff cells? I love that series. That was amazing, that one. No, no one is a mistake here. No, no one. Hello, Simon. How's that Mac Mini purring along nicely, I hope. Simon's just been AstraZeneca, so you know Bill Gates isn't in control. I don't know what they're giving out here. I'll have to ask. I'll have to ask people who've been. You went straight out after that and bought an old Toyota. Oh, so you're back on wheels. Excellent. At least you found one. And I guess they're going to do the mother and father of all valets on it for you. Oh, yes. A valet is what it needs. Absolutely. You see, Tracy is thinking, because let it just be said that some of the MacBiters who've been with us for a long time do on occasion come in under a pseudonym. And we've got to guess who they are. So that's probably what she was thinking. If Bill Gates had taken over, it would have been a bit more flash, right? Well, you never know with Bill Gates, do you? There are some... I mean, I haven't... This is the thing. They get away with it because you don't know if what somebody else is saying is true. They're saying that they're humanitarian and all this. And then there was this video that I watched, and it was a quite a long documentary-style thing from somebody who actually lived there. And they were sending medications to African countries. It was something to do with birth control. I don't know if it was for chemical abortions or whether it was birth control, but it actually said on it not to be consumed in the States, basically. It wasn't certified in the States. It had been, and they'd found it wasn't safe. So this thing then had on it, you know, that you couldn't use it in the States. So they sent it over to Africa and they used it there. And I'm thinking, but if it's not safe in one place, it's not safe in another. But they have this big thing going on about planned pregnancies and stuff abroad. But this lady did a complete demolition job of Bill Gates and his foundation. I need to find a link for that, don't I? I've no idea what he's done specifically, but he does keep coming out and saying things. And he's reminding me of Tony Blair, Dr. Blair. As we never refer to him, Dr. Blair, whose idea it was, if you remember, to go from 3 weeks for the second vaccination to 3 months, which is now why we're short of vaccines, because now they're panicking that they're not going to have enough next month to give the people who are ready to have their second one. So they've actually been told unofficially, not to take any new people on. But then that didn't go down well yesterday. So Boris had to ride in today. This is, history will look upon this as like, were these people Muppets? And obviously the answer to that is yes. Yes, very much so. So Boris rode in and said, you know, no, it'll be fine. Which is what Boris usually says. Will it be fine? I've no idea. It's something to do with, which again makes absolutely zero sense to most people. Which is, well, it's the import from India that's the problem. And then the next story pops up and says, we need to export some of this vaccine to India. I thought, well, that's fair enough. But why are we bringing it over here in the first place? Because, you know, hello, it started life in India. It's just whoever's in charge needs a brain implant. Oh, needless to say, no news here yet. Bill Gates recently said we need to quit eating meat. Meanwhile, he's brought up tons of farmland. Seems to be looking out for his own interests. Oh, yeah, I heard that one. And I'm thinking there are people, I mean, you can be vegan and you can be vegetarian, but don't you need to be quite careful about supplements and stuff and balance it all? So if that's something that you're going to head off and do, you need to do it in an educated way. Same when you change anything. You know, if you've been eating one particular thing, like at the moment, right, with me, right, I've always taken vitamin C. I've always taken a few other vitamins. I have multiple pots of vitamin D at the moment. Because I am getting no sunlight. I'm getting light through the window for maybe 5 hours a day, if that. But that's it. So because circumstances have changed, I've looked at what I need and got the vitamin D, which Kim asked about ages ago. Make sure you're getting your vitamin D. The parish secretary asked about my vitamin D. Make sure I'm getting vitamin D. I am getting vitamin D. Listen. I have vitamin D. There are 400 pills in a pot. And I've got 4 pots. I'm not taking them all at once, but there you go. It's a lot more difficult for vegans than veggies. What is it? What is it that veggies eat, vegans don't? Is it eggs and fish? Or is it just derivative things like eggs are okay, but fish isn't okay? I'm never quite sure. I know a vegan, nothing. Because we've even got on things like iPad cases now, vegan friendly. And the first time I saw it, I thought, they're not eating it, are they? What could they mean? And it's vegan leather, isn't it? Tracy's still explaining here. The juxtaposition of Hugh and Shipman flummoxed Jim. He was called Harold. Oh, well, yes, that's very true, Tracy. Certain MacBiters do come in under pseudonyms that do make us laugh, like the time young Jonathan, so desperate to get in, actually put Yo as the name. So when his first comment came through, it was Yo from Yo. Yo. So, yeah, we're used to it, aren't we? Oh, dear. Whatever you like, providing it doesn't have a face. That's a good way of looking at it, Simon. That is a good way of looking at it. Vegetarians eat milk and egg products. I guess that would be easier then. Is it dairy? Well, I'm not. I don't really eat that much dairy. Having said that, I actually cut out butter, cheese, but I did eat the eggs because I think of eggs as more protein than dairy. But I did cut out dairy, so I don't have cream or milk. Or anything like that. I have taken to having a little bit of cheese now, but not that often. Maybe like once a week. Vegans won't use anything that comes from animals, won't wear leather or wool. I guess actually that could be quite tricky too. Because you'd have to be checking every single thing that's in there, wouldn't you? It must be very difficult. But certainly in terms of the fact you'd need to take supplements, I think you'd need to read up on it properly and do it properly. It feels, when I look at some of them, because you know they are, that BBC thing is tormenting me with nice recipes flying past on my A-lady. One was a vegan Victoria sponge cake. Oh, that looked nice. But there's other vegan things that come up and I think, yeah, that looks really nice. And it feels like, you know, like when you have a salad and it feels like clean eating. But something like roast beef and Yorkshire pudding doesn't exactly feel like clean eating, does it? God, it's been a while since I've had that. Oh, over a year. About 13 months since I had that. I think a salad will probably be better for me. So I do have a salad every day. Sometimes it's got chicken with it, which I'm not going to get in as vegan or vegetarian, am I? Unless it was like fake chicken, corny chicken. But I've not got round to trying that yet. Mike's doing the shopping order tonight while he's in his Catinian meeting. So heaven knows what we're going to get. Simon could easily and happily be vegetarian. You don't want the discipline or desire to be vegan. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I won't say a lot of meat in terms of like steaks or burgers or that kind of stuff. But I do like meat, and protein seems to suit me better than carbs. I don't feel great with carbs, never have done. So much as I love like sweet and sour chicken with rice, the rice will leave me feeling tired, and no, I'd be better off without the rice. That solved itself when I went over to cauliflower rice, which I adore. I absolutely love cauliflower rice. We nearly had an accident with that. It wasn't my fault, obviously, because I wasn't doing the washing up. I used to do the cauliflower rice. That's the food processor. So yes, I know I can use a food processor. Tracy may need to sit down at this point. I have used a food processor. So I've done the food processing bit with it. And then once I've got it out and I've got it in the bowl, then the rest of it is for Mike to clean. He then takes it away for washing up. Somehow he managed to slice his finger nearly off with this thing. I won't say it was bad, but he had to take a day off work. He took a picture of his finger with this huge flap of skin at the top and said, I can't come in, it won't stop bleeding. Took a picture of it and sent it to his boss. That took days to sort out. Right, let's have a look. You don't understand vegetarians wanting veggies that taste like meat products. That is a bit weird to me. But I guess it's like somebody on a diet wanting something that tastes like sugar. But if their objection is on moral grounds, then it does seem a little bit weird. I don't know. Why isn't wool okay? Sheep's still alive after shearing. Feel better when they're relieved of their coat. Alex, that is spot on. Did you see that one the other week that hadn't been, I think it was 10 years. I think it was in Australia. And I think they said 35 kilos of wool on this thing. It could barely walk. There it is, BBC. New fleece of life. Oh, did you see what they did there? With 35 kilograms of coat of wool. So I'll put this link in. You can see from the picture. It's a video, but you don't need to play it. You can see it. It could barely walk. Its little legs couldn't keep it upright. It was just that heavy. And then it took them like a couple of minutes. You know how amazing the sheep shearers are in Australia. Look at its face. So you're actually doing it a favour. I don't know what would happen in the wild with sheep. If you didn't shear sheep, you know, if there were no such thing as sheep shearers, what would happen to the sheep? Because if they go like that, surely in the end they'd die, because they would get to a point where they couldn't walk. The poor thing, you should have seen it. But when he walked outside when he'd been done, because he couldn't see either. The wool had gone over his face, so he couldn't see. Handsome chap when he'd finished, though. So I don't know about wool. I guess maybe they're thinking about the conditions the animals are kept in. But I always think with people like Bill Gates, there must be some kind of ulterior motive going on. It can't be totally altruistic the way he goes on. Because, you know, give the rest of us a break. So I must admit, I am quite cynical with Bill Gates. I think he should have stuck to what he knew, which was computing, and leave, you know, world management to the rest of us. Now, Simon is the total opposite. I love red meat. Makes you feel like Pavarotti. Do you know what I have? I think my dad was like that. He could probably eat potatoes for England. But whenever he had like a lot of meat, which he tended to have at Christmas, then he didn't feel good. I guess anything done to excess. But I just do like meat. I mean, we had an omelette. So obviously we've got the eggs in that. But pretty much it was cheese. And I'm like, well, that was nice, but where's the food? Not proteiny enough. But that could just be me. Oh, Renee saw the picture. Yeah, that poor sheep. And I guess they're going to use that wool because it didn't look like it was usable on the outside. But once you saw the underneath, as they started shearing it, it was white on the inside. It was amazing. To get the milk, you kill the calves. The eggs are a hen's fetus. Mm. People have obviously got their own moral compass on this, and whatever they want to do is fine by me. I know there's all those jokes about, you know, how can you tell somebody's a vegan? You don't need to ask, they'll tell you. And some are like that, which I object to. I do object to that because I wouldn't dream of saying to them, you should eat meat. I wouldn't dream of interfering with anybody's diet. The funniest one to me, I mean, when I say funny, it was funny in hindsight, but I did not enjoy the evening at all. We went to a ladies' night and we got put on this table, and I knew the man by sight, but I'd got sat next to him. I think he was the VP of the circle. What I didn't know until that night was that he was a vegetarian or a vegan, one or the other. And the meat choice on the menu was lamb, and I love lamb. That's probably my favourite, lamb then beef. So my dinner turned up and his turned up, and it was the vegetarian option. But some people go for the vegetarian option, irrespective of whether they're vegetarian or not, because they don't fancy the other course. So I didn't actually at that point know that he was vegetarian or vegan, one or the other. And he saw mine and started. And when I say started, I mean like I got chapter and verse all the while I was eating it about, oh, the poor lambs that have had to die so you can eat that, which I think is inappropriate if I don't know the guy. And I didn't know this guy beyond the fact he was a Catanian. So that to me was only one step nearer a kind of he knows who I am than being in a restaurant and somebody who's vegan coming up and saying that to you. That is wholly inappropriate. In another way, you could say it's even worse that it's at a Catanian event, because it's all supposed to be about fraternity and brotherly love and not being judgmental. And he spent the entire night. I was too polite to turn around and sort of say, well, you should eat this. I don't like looking at what you're eating. But I just thought, you know, how rude is that? How rude. It also, because it was prior to Mike being P, I said to Mike, president of the Catanians, we always say P, Mike being P. It was a case of us looking after the menu for each and every event. The first one was like a Sunday roast lunch. So we had to make sure that there was a vegetarian and vegan option, which we did. But the majority of people, I think the majority of people went for turkey. There was turkey, beef and pork, and the majority went for turkey. So I think that was like, you know, I want some meat, but I don't want the red meat. So they went for turkey. And everyone that we did, we had to make sure that there was multiple starters that suited people, multiple mains that suited people. When it came to the dessert, that was a living nightmare. Because if you've got somebody who's vegan, then they're not going to want cream. So you've got to take that out of the equation. But the other thing was, you know, you might think, well, that's really simple. That's going to be simple. It's not simple, because then you've got the people who are diabetic and you're thinking you want something that's viable for them. Most of the time, you know, cheese and biscuits, but not if they're vegan. So it's difficult, and I appreciate that. And to the point, I said to Mike, do you want to sit the vegetarians and vegans together? And we decided, no, we'd put them with their friends, because their friends are unlikely to judge them anyway. But, you know, these are the things that you don't realise when you take something on like being president like that, that you've got to sort out. And, you know, we didn't even know at the time that that would be an issue. But once we'd been to this other ladies' evening, and Mike was on my right hand side, this guy was on my left. So Mike had no idea what this guy was saying. And he was representing the circle whose evening it was. So even worse, to invite guests and then make them feel incredibly unwelcome is appalling. So after that, whenever we went to an event, I said, do not sit me next to that guy, because I wouldn't be having the vegetarian option no matter what. It'd be things like, they're just things I wouldn't eat. I just wouldn't eat that. Let me try and think. Well, what kind of thing do they have? Like a nut cutlet. Never had one in my life. So I'm not going to particularly try it now. Another thing they used to do was like some kind of quiche that was a vegetarian quiche. But that's got gluten in it and wheat flour, and I can't eat that. So I would never be having that. There were times when I'd order something and then say to Mike, but you're going to have to eat most of it because I can't eat that. But this guy was really offensive. That is bad to me. That is just bad. All right, let's have a look. The Aussies have a different approach to vegetarianism. You are what you eat. Cows eat grass, therefore cows are vegetable. That works. That works, if that's your logic. Absolutely. Right. So Tracy's saying, that's how it was explained to me. The inhuman conditions of battery hens was pretty bad too. The other thing you've got to think about with sort of chickens, basically any kind of poultry, is bird flu. While the pandemic's been going on, we've had 3 serious outbreaks of bird flu. One was in Norwich and 2 were much closer to us. One was about 25, 30 miles away. I think the other was maybe about 40. So you do have to think about that. And I think some of vegans and vegetarians are probably thinking that. Kim bets Alex's hens have a wonderful life. Don't forget, Pete's got them as well. Pete has hens. I'm sure they're pampered to glory. Absolutely. That's so weird, but they came with the house. That's so cute. And Kim's grandmother was free range before there was such a thing as free range. Absolutely. Absolutely. We had a farm near where we lived when we lived in that horrible village in the middle of nowhere. The one good thing was you could go to the farm and the chickens are meandering around. And it was like they were given priority. Like you can't come into the yard because the hens are out and you'd have to park and walk. They had a great life and the food was amazing. That was the one good thing with that. Virtue signalling. Oh, I love that. That's exactly. Oh, yes. That's exactly what it's like. We need to get Pete to give us a picture of the new hens, don't we? Because that was what he wanted his CCTV for, which is amazing. That the hens are getting their own CCTV. Fabulous. Anthony was once watching a programme where vegans were going to a restaurant telling everyone they were murderers. They'd have had more success convincing people to set up a store with tasty vegan snacks. That's so true. They would, because people would try it. And you know, you, what is it they say? You attract more flies with bees with honey than vinegar. That's just shocking. I mean, that's similar to the way that they used to go on to people wearing fur coats. Now, my mum had a fur coat and she loved it, but it was fake. It was fake. There was no way. And again, that is the virtue signalling. If you think about somebody wearing a fur coat, that's kind of I'm richer than you signalling, isn't it? The person I remember in this fur coat, not my mother, this one was real, trust me. I went to the Players' Lounge many, many years ago. I think I was still at school. And the Players' Lounge at Old Trafford, you could only get in it if you are a player. And you are allowed 2 guests and that's it. So nobody gets in there unless they've got one of these 2 tickets from a player. That's it. So luckily, my dad's mate knew one of the players. So he had 2 tickets off him and this player managed to get another ticket. So his mate, my dad and me could go in. So we went in. It was the middle of May. Now, the UK is not known for its heat, but even the UK in the middle of May is a smidgen on the warm side. So I gets in there. I was taking stuff off. I had like a very thin jacket on. And there stood one of the players' wives in a mink coat. I know it was a real mink coat. It had feet trailing the floor. I nearly threw up because I love animals. I thought, oh my God. You know, bad enough that, you know, it was a mink coat if you're into that kind of thing. But the fact that there were feet trailing off it, not good. So much so, it reminded me of an episode of Rising Damp. Does anybody remember that? Fabulously funny series. And there was one episode, Rigsby had a cat called Vienna. And in this episode, I think he'd taken Miss Jones out in the car and he'd lost the cat. And he gets down there and there's this dead cat. Only it turns out it's not a dead cat. It's Miss Jones's stole. And again, it had a head on it and it had feet on it. And I'm like, oh no, I couldn't. But, you know, if you want to do that, that's up to you. They used to throw either animal blood, when I'm wondering where they got that from, or paint at people wearing fur coats. So you won't find many people in fur coats these days. And those that you do are like pilloried for it. Let's have a look. Going back up a bit. When animals stop killing each other, I become a vegetarian. That is so true, Deb. And Sarah says, since lockdown, we've discovered a local farm sells eggs and they're delicious. Lady said their hens have lots of toys to play with and run around quite freely. And you can really tell. That's how it should be. But, you know, big business gets involved and then everything becomes systematised. And before you know it, they're living in a cardboard box the size of a shoebox. Oh, happy days, Kim. A dairy farm not far from our house used to get milk from and then sit in the living room shaking jars of milk to make butter. Wow. Oh, that would have been good. No, nearest we came to that was if the butter melted. Mum did it. I think actually she might have tried it, or it could have been cheese. I can't remember. I was very, very young, but she did have, you know, those things that you see. I have no idea what these things are called, but they're like two wooden things and you use it to like put the butter into a square or the cheese. They've got like a pattern on them. I have no idea what they're called, but those, and she had some. And I do remember her doing something, but I would have been no more than like three. So I would have no clue what it actually was. She's at it again. Nibble, nibble, nibble. Have a drink. Good girl. So Renee says a lot of farms around here have vending machines with the products. Eggs, strawberries and goat's cheese. You drive up and buy, no risk. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. I wish we could do that more. I actually think that's what a lot of people voted Brexit for. To get back to an era like that. Where it wasn't all big business and importing and corporates and all of that. I really do. Tracy's favourite aunt turned up at Nan's house wearing a fur coat once, told us it was Coney. When I found out what it was, I was horrified. It was the feet that got me. These things dragged the floor. And she must have been boiling in this coat. It was very much, I'm the captain's wife, and therefore I have this coat on. I never looked at her the same again. I thought she was a complete idiot. Butter pats, that's it. She also had like one of those things that makes butter shells. I don't think she didn't do it often. Not, you know, she did it more than once or twice. I'd be surprised. But I do remember, and I can't remember if it was cheese or butter. Knowing Mum, it was probably butter. Probably. She also had weird stuff that, you know, it's probably in the kitchen to this day. That like a toffee thermometer. I mean, you do not want me in the kitchen trying to make toffee. Nobody wants that. I believe it's very difficult to make. Fudge, on the other hand, I have made. And there is a slight matter of an outstanding batch of Mike's Magic MacBites Flapjack that we have the ingredients for, but has not been magically turned into Mike's Magic Flapjack yet. I did mention it to him earlier as he headed off to his meeting. And he said, oh, yes. We need to do that. So watch this space. Maybe soon. Maybe soon. You never know. Could just go some of that right now. But we do have all the ingredients. So because we had to buy those in episodes, obviously, with the COVID thing. It was like, oh, they've sent 80% of what we need. But we can't actually make it because we've not got the other 20%. But now we have. One of the big problems with rearing animals for us to eat is a huge amount of planet resources used for them and the methane they produce. Well, that's what everybody says, isn't it, Tracy? So we need to capture the methane and use it, like Kim says. Let's find a way. Maybe it's a number of people on the planet rather than the actual animals, because the situation has got worse as... I watched a history video today that was talking about 1551 in the UK. And I think Henry VIII was king at the time. That's why I was watching the video. And that it was a thing called the sweating sickness. 1,500 people died, which doesn't sound like that many. But the entire population of the UK was 1.5 to 2 million. We now have a population in London alone of 9 million. So we're definitely living more on top of one another than we were then. Obviously, those people need feeding, hence intensive farming. So we need to think long term. Nobody's thinking long term at the moment. Tracy's going to have me sold on this thermomix, isn't she? At some point, this thermomix is going to arrive. Toffee and fudge are a doddle. Yeah, the dentist did go mad though. Although he did give me permission to have toffee and fudge, despite the fact I've not eaten them in years, as long as there was no chewing. No chewing allowed. In 1666, there were 7,000 deaths a week at the height of the bubonic plague. And that was just in London. Can you imagine where we'd be now if there weren't, though? Our population would probably be touching 100 million in the UK, and that would just make it worse and worse, because the more people there are, the more we're building on the green belt and all the rest of that. Ah, there's no answer to this, is there? What are you up to now? She gets very sitting there gnawing at things because Daddy's not here. Daddy's in his Cotinian meeting. I didn't do history like that. I told you I was doing the seed drill and garbage like that. It just didn't interest me at all. But there are so many fantastic history videos on YouTube. And what's interesting to me is, you know, I remember history lessons and they were direly boring. But these videos on YouTube are so entertaining. These people should be teachers. They make it so entertaining and fascinating. Whereas all I remember from history is being absolutely bored rigid. I dropped it, dropped history when I was 13. It was just direly boring. I went on and I did commerce and economics instead, which to me were far more interesting inherently, without the fact that the teacher was absolutely boring. I mean, why go into something like teaching history if you can't make it interesting? Why would you do that? I can't understand that. You must know that you're dialing in, that it's not fantastic and the kids are nodding off. Anyway, I'm finding it interesting now, so I'm going to have to watch more videos like that. There was one about the Great Fire of London, and that was fascinating as well. See, normally I'm into the stuff that I enjoy and that I know I will enjoy. I think what happened was one of my true crimers also enjoys history. So she puts out the odd history video, and that's why I'm watching it. And they're fantastic. They are fantastic. We need to learn from the past before we make the same mistakes again in the future, don't we? Anyway, don't forget to let me know about any problems you may be having with tables in Affinity Publisher. And that way I can address them on Sunday when we are creating creative tables in Affinity Publisher. So whether it's the panels or whether, you know, well, I was trying to tell me what you were trying to do that didn't work. Let me know that. I've got examples and I'm loving the examples, but you know, if they don't address the things that you're struggling with, then that won't be as valuable, will it? So let me know. And let me know what you fancy for tomorrow. It may or may not be added in at this stage. Really, I'm at the point of trying to take things out before it becomes a 5-hour epic. So I'm still pondering. So it's not too late at the moment. I'll try and get that mail done ready for tonight. So I've just got to make my mind up. Is it in or is it out? I might end up, is that bad, tossing a coin for what's covered? It would be bad, wouldn't it? Oh, dear. Oh, Burger Night. Burger Night. Never mind, Sarah. You can always watch it on catch up. There is a whole playlist for you to watch it on catch up. And we do put the timings underneath so you can get to just what you want to see. And tomorrow in Notion, it's the subscription tracker. Which means an introduction. Very brief introduction to formula, which I do believe we're covering the week after. But there you go. That's it for the moment. So I will say good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike, as he's otherwise engaged. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.